Welcome to the Modern Masculinity Podcast, where we delve into the depths of what it means to be a man in today's world, and we explore the real-life challenges and triumphs that you and I face every single day. My name is Hector Santi Esteban, and I come with no answers, only questions for some of the most wise, insightful, and grounded men that I know. So get settled in. You're listening to Modern Masculinity. Fellas, what's going on? I hope this episode finds you well, and I hope this episode leaves you better than when it found you. And as always, I'm honored and humbled that you're here alongside me, part of this journey, and that you would allow me to be a part of yours. And I'm grateful for that. And today is no different. Today you get to chat, or you get to listen into the chat with me and a good friend, and probably someone who I've known the longest. At least I met him when we were 9, 10 years old, trying to figure out just childhood. And now we're trying to figure out manhood together. And his name is John, and his day job, he's a fitness guy. He trains people. He's a former professional bodybuilding competition athlete. I don't like standing next to him when we're at the pool because he makes me look very mediocre. But he's also, you know, he's gone through. He's got a couple of kids. He's got a growing family. He's got his own business. And he shares a lot of the ups and downs that come along with, you know, trying to hold it together, right? It's a really cool conversation, and I'm excited for you to meet him. So enough of me, y'all. This is John Autier. John, welcome to the Modern Masculinity Podcast, man. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I have a lot of friends on the show, but you are the friend that I've known the longest. Our history goes way back to, geez, I don't know, maybe 7, 8 years old. So anyways, you have that crown as the longest tenured friend that's been on the show.
Nice.
I always start the episodes with asking the guests, like, what's real for you? You know, we see on social media a lot of people's highlight reels, and it's just like all the best things. Oh, here's where I went, and here's the great dinner, the great place. And we don't always see the real stuff that people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so I like to use the first part of this episode to get into like some of the shit or some of the real challenges, whether it be big or small, that you're facing as a man, a husband, a dad, a provider, a partner. What's real for you right now?
Oh man, dude, like just how hard parenting is. You know, growing up, I judged my parents, thought about things I would do differently when I became a parent. And now that I'm there, it's like there's a lot more understanding why they act certain ways. Parenting's hard. Life is hard in general. And a lot of people like to pretend like you have to love every single minute of being a parent, and they're your pride and joy all the time, you know, but I just feel like a lot of that is fake, especially when you're around your kids 24/7. It can be a struggle. It's not supposed to be easy. If you're doing it right, it's not supposed to be easy.
Yeah. Stephen Arms, he's one of our early guests of the show. He came on and he talks about the ladders of manhood, and that these experiences, whether it's the first one is like, you know, moving out, and then it's getting a partner, getting married, moving in with them, and then having kids. And at each stage, your level of responsibility goes up. And what I've found is that at each stage, you're forced to learn a little bit more about yourself. Early on, you could kind of skate by just trying to fit in, trying to be cool. But after a while, that doesn't work. It burns out. You kind of get sick of it. And then all you're left with is kind of you. It's just been a journey, an evolution. Thinking I had it all figured out, going back to being a 25-year-old something and thinking like, oh, I've got it figured out. And then here I am, you know, 7, 8 years later, and I don't have shit figured out.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel the exact same way. We're what, like 32, about to be 33. And I feel like I know less than I did 10 years ago about everything.
Well, the kids will show you that. I think you're also right that social media like makes it difficult, because even without social media, everyone's trying to give you advice on how you should parent. And now with social media, you have all this advice coming at you on what you should be doing and how you should be doing it. And by the time they're two, like we had this plan, and life hit, and we lasted like 4 or 5 months by the time our second one. I joke about it with some of my friends, but we came out when we had our first one, we were like, we're going to eat organic, no screens. They're going to read books. Like a year later, our little guy was eating French fries. And part of it was like, we were just exhausted and kind of gave in. And then also the other side of it was like a practicality reason. It's a lot to ask of a person, especially when they don't even have their own shit figured out.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%. Same exact thing over here. Once my second son came around, it was too hard to keep up.
Yes. Two. One is I look at parents who have one, almost like I look at people who say that pets are like having kids. I'm like, you don't know, you outnumber them right now. Try being outnumbered, and then try being outnumbered consistent, like often, like more often than not. It's a different level of range, right? I've likened it to like one kid is like playing Madden on normal or like rookie mode, and two is going up to like all Hall of Fame. It's a different level of skill that's required, you know, and it's a skill, which is a challenge because we're not born with that and we didn't see it.
Right. Yeah. There are some absolutely wrong ways to parent, but there's no script. There's no rule book. And like you said, like everyone has an opinion. The whole gentle parenting like thing, it can be frustrating. Yeah, social media, man. Social media is a gift and a curse at the same time, you know?
It can be like a real challenge. I hear a lot of people say like, oh, I'm on it for work or I'm on it for business. And it's like, perhaps that's a reality. If I'm not conscious and intentional with what I'm watching, it can get really bad really quickly. I can find myself in a really dark hole very quickly just because of the reels that I watch. I spend a little too long on a reel and then the Instagram or the algorithm picks up on it. And then it's another one and I'm 3-4 layers deep down and I'm ruminating and I have all these stories that are built up in my head. And it all happened because of these videos, right? And it was like, I not opened my phone, like, you know, something I'm going through right now is I saw a post that had nothing to do with like my situation, like zero to do with my situation. But by seeing it, I automatically related it to like my own sort of thing. And I just can't shake it. I haven't been able, and like, I'm like, I know it's there. I've done a couple of breathwork sessions. I've like taken time. I'm like, maybe it'll just go. And it was all because of social media posts from someone I don't even follow. It's having like a real impact on my emotions.
Yeah. And it's like in a matter of seconds, like you spend like 1 or 2 seconds longer than your usual. And all of a sudden your feed is flooded with that.
Yeah. In the positive sense, I could see how it can be very helpful, but I've also seen it lead me down some very dark paths. I'm a very conscious person. And I know that most people aren't walking around thinking about, how is this reel impacting my emotional and mental health? And, you know, what's it doing to my nervous system and all these sorts of things? They're just consuming it and letting it wash over them. And I think that that's why we have so many of the challenges that we have in society right now.
Yeah. Yeah. About like probably half an hour ago, I was on there and I saw a story in Miami about a 4-year-old almost getting abducted, like in CVS. I was reading about it and it made me think of all these different scenarios, and it's happening to me right now. And I got so much like anxiety and tension just from that. And it's a real thing, right? Like we should be aware of that stuff. So it's good to know that these aren't just paranoid things people think that may happen. Like these things are happening out there. So it's good to be aware of it. But I was just sitting here on the couch and getting like super tense and just got, I probably spent like 5-10 minutes just spaced out thinking about these different scenarios if I encounter it.
Yeah, you have to draw a line with your attention. But the other side of it is there is something to that too, that I think you can't be totally oblivious either. There has to be some level of awareness, and where that line is, I think, is the balance that we have to play. But on that point, I don't know if nervous is the right word, because it's like, it's way beyond that, but about what kind of world that our kids are going to live in. Our parents and the people that raised us, they probably anticipated that life and the world was going to be generally the same as it was. And granted, it's changed, but not at the rate that we're going to see over the next 20 years. And so I'm struggling at like, how do I prepare this kid, or how do I not fuck this kid up so that he's able to like actually thrive in whatever that world looks like? Because who's to know what it even looks like?
Yeah, man, it's scary. I think about that all the time. My kids are still young enough to where they don't have to fit in with other kids and what other things going on. But even like the whole screen time thing, you hear you don't want to give them screen time, but now they're using it in schools or using it a lot. That's technology. That's like the world we live in. It's just going to keep advancing. They're going to have to be literate in like how to use technology and how to find resources and find answers and everything. So it's hard to find that balance of allowing them to keep up with that, or, you know, holding the old school, like traditional way of parenting, having them use their imagination and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it's a real hard balance, because they're different kids after they use screens. They're like
absolutely
tangibly different kids. Their attention, their energy levels. The other day, I took the screen away from my son because he was on it for several hours while I was working. And no, it's a different story. But I took it away from him and he's just going crazy. And I'm like, yo. And he's like, can we watch a movie? I'm like, no, you need to rev down. Like, you need to give yourself a chance to like cool out. The problem is like that over a long period of time kind of worries me. Like I have to, as a 32-year-old, set limits and reminders and remind myself to put the phone down and not freak out when it's not in my pocket. And it's like, I'm a grown man. Their brain isn't even fully developed. But to your point, it's going to be around. Their friends are going to be on it. Like they're going to have to use it in school. Kids that could have been playing video games that were our age, like those people that were playing video games their whole life, now they're making careers of it. So it's like, where do you draw this line? And how do you even kind of, for that sort of scenario, it's hard for dads out there right now.
Yeah. And you think about like the dopamine release that they get, like when they're on it, long-term effects of constantly opening something and getting this dopamine hit like over and over and over from such an early age. That's scary to think of. They're going to have that need growing up to constantly have this dopamine spike multiple times a day. It's affecting all of us right now, right? How many of us are bored and we pull out our phone without even thinking? Our phones will be dead and we still pull it out to check. It's a habit. And on another point, like I have a client, he's only 17 years old and he's paying for personal training like on his own. He makes six figures editing videos on YouTube. He's still in high school. So there's like one example of how you could make it work for you and make a career out of it. He has his own business already, but that's like one of the few, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the connection between mental health and fitness. That was a big thing for me that I noticed. My fitness journey, at least this iteration of it, kind of started around the pandemic and the lockdown. And I got started because I looked in the mirror and I was like, you have a dad bod and you're not Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, this cannot stand. And so I initially got into it because I wanted to look better, right? The aesthetics. And so lost the weight and whatever. But the reason I kept coming back was that when I didn't work out, I didn't have the emotional capacity to deal with the kids as much. I was much shorter with them. I didn't have as much energy. Like there was all these other effects outside of looking good or having more muscles or like whatever it is. And so that for me is what keeps me going back to the gym. Like I know that if I don't work out for a few days, like I'm an asshole. Like I'm like, I feel like I need to sweat out my anger essentially. And so I'm curious for you, that's your world. You spend most of your day, you know, in the kind of the fitness space, but then your personal evolution has taken you on this path to redefine your mental health. So how do you look at fitness in relation to mental and emotional, maybe even spiritual health?
They go hand in hand. I think they're the same. If you want to be healthy, you know, if you want to be in a healthy mindset, you have to exercise. You have to move your body. You know, it's been proven for yourself and all my clients. Best thing to do for your happiness and your mental health is just to move your body. And the lockdown and COVID really screwed up a lot of people being locked inside and having limited social activity. I still don't think we've seen the effects of that yet. You know, it's still too early, especially for like the kids that were in school. But yeah, I started exercising and really getting into the gym in high school. And I didn't realize why I got so into it. It was because it was for my own mental health. I was dealing with a lot of stuff at that age and it helped me without even realizing that was the reason why, you know, and obviously I got into it just to look better, but it became like just a daily habit from like the age of 15.
Yeah. I find that it's one of it's one of the things that you can do that by doing it, it helps like all of these other things. We talked about the mental health, the physical health, but also the other thing is like, it's a really, I don't want to say an easy way because it's not easy, but it's a simple and go-to way to build your self-respect. That for guys, and I can't say for guys, that for me was something that I had to work on. Josh Wenner, he's a friend of the pod. He put out a video that went viral the other day talking about how a lot of guys have leaky energy in the sense that they don't follow through with their commitment. That's one of the biggest things that will essentially ruin a relationship is that and if we can't commit or we can't kind of follow through in doing something as simple, it's not easy, but something as simple as going to the gym or working out or exercising or whatever it is, it makes following through on all of our other commitments that much harder. Or to be in integrity with ourselves is so much easier when we get up and do those simple but not easy things. So like I started waking up and doing a cold shower in the morning. I hate it. And my daughter, she looks at me and she's like, is it cold? I'm like, yeah. She's like, why are you doing that? And it's like, because afterwards I respect myself more. I'm like, you know, I feel more capable of myself, right? Like more belief in myself. And the gym and exercising is one of those things that seems to be the things that everybody can do. Not everybody can go live in a monastery or go train MMA or like these other sorts of things, but everybody can kind of break a sweat.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, it's all about keeping the promises to yourself. One thing that I always recommend to people that are having any type of struggle in their life, whether it's relationship, career, or, you know, obviously their health and their fitness, is to start with their health and fitness, because that's one thing that you have almost like complete control over. You can control what you eat. You can control if you move. It doesn't have to be at the gym. You can go for walks, for runs, do push-ups or whatever, but you have pretty much 100% control in that. So if you start there, keep the promises to yourself and just stack on like these daily wins. Like you said, your self-respect, your self-confidence, you gain so much momentum. It carries over into everything, every other aspect of your life.
Yeah. One other thing that I think that you've got just a unique perspective on is this mental health journey. And we grew up in the same sort of areas. If I'm being honest, you probably had a lot more challenges early on than I did. I've had like a pretty cushy sort of upbringing, you know, and I think that my parents did everything they could to create that. Like that was their goals. They were like optimizing to make it as easy as possible for me. And it's not to blame them, but it's like challenges in life is going to come at you. It's going to hit you at some point. You can't put off life. And so to pretend that life is going to be easier, I came out of that world and being like, holy shit, I didn't know it was going to be like this hard. I didn't know it was going to be this hard. And thankfully, I had some tools and stuff to kind of lean on. But I can really see how people who don't have the tools or the resources or the community or network, like how that's not as easy of bouncing back. For you, I know you've kind of been on your own sort of journey. What's that been like? Take us into like your world in terms of like the mental health journey and what you've been going through.
Yeah. So my childhood, I had a good childhood. It was different than most people. You know, I grew up with my aunt and my uncle. My parents divorced when I was 8. They were both alcoholics, couldn't support me and my sister. But I guess from an early age, maybe 5 to 8 years old, we were like bouncing around motels, living out of a car. And then, like I said, they split. I ended up living with my aunt. So I kind of faced adversity a little earlier on. As far as my mental health goes, man, like when I was a kid, I mean, I'm sure you remember, I rarely spoke. Everyone thought there was something wrong with me just because I didn't really speak. I thought there was something wrong with me because everyone was telling me there was something wrong with me because of what happened to me as a kid. So I grew up just thinking like, this is me. I'm just a quiet person. Like I'm a shy person. But I think there's more to it. I don't know if you want to say I was depressed, because back then, can't remember exactly like all the feelings that I was feeling, but there's definitely a lot of anxiety, a lot of feeling like I wasn't good enough. My self-worth is very low. Self-confidence is very low. I didn't grow out of that till probably hit like 20 years old. All throughout high school, I was still trying to find myself. And again, the gym fitness helped me kind of form this identity to where, like, I guess I felt like people respected me more because I was building this physique. You know what I mean? Oh, like so much of the good stuff in my life to fitness and the gym. It sounds funny. I met my wife at the gym. So, I mean, a lot of good things happened and I'm grateful for all the things that happened in my life, even the adversity, because it's definitely helped as I've gotten older. I've seen the opposite of kind of like what you're saying, where parents try to shield them from adversity, like their whole lives. And, you know, you can't do that. Eventually they got to figure it out themselves.
Yeah. My son, he's like, I don't remember what he was trying to do. But it was something basic, like putting on his shoes or picking up something off the floor. And he's like, somebody help me. And I'm like, dude, I can't do this for you. Like I can try and help you and tell you what to do. You are going to have to be like, you have to do this. You have to go through this. And I think we were kind of sold this life where it's like, go to school, get good grades, go to college, work this path, and then you'll have this fairy tale life or something. I like bought in. I was like, fuck that. Like, happily ever after. That's all I got to do. Like wife, kids, like, okay, that's it. And then you get here and it's like, well, wait a minute. You didn't say that it came with all of this heartbreak and anguish and sadness and whatever, all the real elements of life, when that's also just life. But to try and remove ourselves from that or pretend that it's all kind of sanitized. Frankly, I think it's a little unique to like our generation. Like you and I are like right around the same, what are you, 32 as well? Yeah. So we're like the same age. We came up at a unique time, at least for us. We still remember before the internet, but we were young enough to like be right on there. But then also a lot of people before us, they had the chance to like scrape their knees and play outside and fall out of trees. And I feel like for our generation, there was this weird kind of gap where it was like, don't go outside, don't run, don't get dirty, don't, like this very safe sort of environment. And I think it made a lot of us like fragile. I had to like come out and like go through a bunch of shit to be like, okay, that hardened me, but I had to go through it.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious if you feel a little similarly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I always think, I wonder if our parents overcompensated for the way their parents parented them to the point where they were too overprotective because they had the opposite. So it's weird. It's weird to think of how this happened, because I noticed that as well. Even with my kids, you want to step in and you want to protect them and you don't want them to get hurt, but they have to figure out this stuff on their own. Like when they're playing, you know, you're telling them to be careful or don't climb certain things, but they're exploring. They're figuring things out, right? You have to let them do that. And it's scary to let go and let them do that. For example, it's hard for me to let my kids go outside and play and not supervise them as much. Even though like when we were kids, we'd go out and pretty much explore the city with like zero supervision. Like, I don't know how that happened. I can't let my kids do that. And I don't know if it's different now, like with things going around. I feel like should be the same. There's probably just more awareness of shit that's going around, like crimes and abductions and everything. But it's hard to find that balance of letting go and still protecting them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I posted a video the other day and it's interesting. It was talking about how men these days are being required to put it all together. My point of the video, which maybe didn't get through in the clip, was that for the first time, we're being asked to be a present father and a available partner and a provider, all of these things. And generations past, they could get away, at least societally or expectations or even of themselves, with just winning in one lane. There was the guy who made a lot of money, but he was never really home. He didn't see his kids. There was the guy who was at all of the baseball games, all of the coach, all the stuff, but was broke and struggling and maybe unfulfilled and unhappy, frankly. There's all these examples of you could do that, but to do it all together is a challenge that I think we place that expectations on ourselves. But that blueprint of how to do that, and it's like doing any one of those is a challenge in and of itself. Being a good dad, all the books on that. There's books and books and books on being a good dad. Being a good partner, books on that. Running a good business, books on that. Doing each at the same time, that's kind of what the show's about. Is like that part is how do we put it all together? How do we figure it out? How do we still have time for ourselves? How do our kids not hate us? How do we have a business that actually provides a lifestyle that we want? Like all of that stuff. And so anyways, I'm just excited that guys like you and me are out there swinging at it. I haven't put it all together yet, but I'm hacking away.
Yeah. And you know, it's being aware of it. It's like the most important thing. There'd be days I get home from work and I'm exhausted and the kids will want to play. In my head, I'm like, no, I don't, I just want to rest. But I know everything that you're saying, like you have to be present and you have to be available for your kids. So even just that extra 20 minutes, 30 minutes of playing with them is what makes a difference, right? Instead of just telling them, no, I'm resting or whatever, you know what I mean? So I don't know if we'll ever fully figure it out, but having the awareness of the importance of all the areas is, I think, what's most important.
Yeah, yeah. This has been a really, really fantastic conversation. John, if people want to follow up with you, get deeper in your world, where's the best place to do that?
Probably my Instagram, which is @cooltrainer.john.
We'll link that up as well. And my last question for you, in your opinion, what's the definition of modern masculinity?
You have to know when to be hard and aggressive, and you also have to know when you need to be available emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely an evolution, right? The old way was this only hard sort of mindset, and now there's a need for a little more integration or perhaps a little more balance. In the yin and the yang, there's that circle in the middle, right, of the other color. And so I think that even for men, we need to have that flash of feminine and vice versa, perhaps, or whatever it is. So appreciate you, man. For all you fellows who have stuck with us, we appreciate you being here. We would love a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you know a guy who needs to hear this, hit that share button, send him a message, let him know you were thinking about him. And as always, we appreciate you being part of the tribe. We'll see you on the next one. Later, fellas.